रजस्तमः प्रकृतयः
रजसतमः प्रकृत्या
रजस्तम आधास है रजस्तमः प्रकृतयः
रजस्तमः प्रकृत्या
समशीला भजन्ति वै
समशीला भजन्ति वै
पितृभूत प्रजेशादिन
पितृभूत प्रजेशादिन
श्रीय ऐश्वर्य प्रजेप्सवः
श्री ऐश्वर्य प्रजेपश्वः.
सो नाउ वी हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड व्हाई दिस श्लोक इज बीइंग स्पोकन. सी द होल थीम इज दैट in this chapter Lord Vishnu has been told to be worshipped, to be the highest worshipable object. Why? Because by worshipping Vishnu only we can get liberation. Now somebody can raise a question, then why are we seeing that people are worshipping different demigods? That is the question which Srila Siddha Swami is raising. If Lord Vishnu is the only person who is to be worshipped, why do we see that people are worshipping demigods? So now this shloka and the previous shloka. It is mentioned in the previous shloka that those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu, they give up the worship of demigods, which is very ghastly, just like Sansara, Shamshan Bhairav and all that, Kali. They respect those forms of demigods, seeing them as the representation of Krishna and modes of ignorance. Are you able to understand? But they understand they are not to be worshipped. So now in this shloka, it is explained here very carefully why they don't worship Vishnu. You can also have a book, is there? It's a very important point to be understood. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter, Divisions of Faith. Something, before we enter the shloka, you understand why it is there. Everybody's consciousness decides his faith. Everybody has faith. Somebody who says, I don't believe in God, he also has faith. It's not that he knows that there is no God. It's not that he knows, he cannot prove that God does not exist. He has a faith that I don't believe in God. That's what they say. So belief is a faith. Now that belief or faith is because of a particular, because their consciousness, their heart, their consciousness means sattva. Sattva means mind, intelligence, false ego, and your consciousness. Consciousness, you understand, just like this light emanating from the bulb is pervading this whole room. Similarly, by your consciousness, you are conscious, you are sitting here. So this is called consciousness. So now consciousness of a jiva gets influenced by different modes of material nature. Rajagun, tamagun, satagun. Now depending on that kind of infection, they will have a certain kind of faith. And these demigods are also influenced by mode of passion, ignorance and goodness. So depending on that, they worship demigods of their same nature. A person who is passionate, they will worship Yaksha and Rakshasa, because they are also of that nature. As we say, birds of same feather flock together. They like to worship that god, because their consciousness is also same or influenced by same mode of passion, predominantly. Now somebody is worshipping Bhut Preth, ghost. Now for us, it is, what is ghastly, go to Shamshan and worship this ghost. What will you get by it? You can easily chant Hare Krishna. But because they, now you, with this transcendental eyes of knowledge, you can see because their heart is influenced by that mode, they will like to worship that demigod only. Have you not seen that people who worship Lord Shiva, they have to take up this kamar and carry water for so many kilometers and kilometers. And you might ask, why? Are they in love for Lord Shiva? This question answers. They are not loving the demigods. They have a desire to fulfill, which gets very easily fulfilled by demigods, and that's why they are very eager to worship a demigod. So influenced by modes of passion and ignorance, they have material desires to fulfill, and that's why, because their consciousness is not pure, they can't understand that Lord Vishnu is to be worshipped. Makes sense to you? And a person who has understood that Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu is worshipable is not an ordinary person. It shows his purity of consciousness. It shows that he must have done some worship before. That's why the glory of Lord Vishnu or Krishna is descending in his heart. He has some sukriti that we hear from Bhagavad Gita also. So now this shloka will say this point. It says, Rajas Tamaha Prakritiha. Have we not discussed this point? They have a nature which is influenced by Rajagun, word of passion and word of ignorance. And then he says, Samashila bhajanti vai. Bhajanti means they serve. And Samashila means those demigods who are of the same nature of mode of passion and ignorance. See, Krishna is transcendental. So those who are worshipping Krishna all also having a transcendental faith. Similarly, those demigods who are controlling or predominantly in modes of passion and ignorance are worshipped by those who are Samashila, who are of the same nature. Are you able to understand this point? It's like we are discussing Bhagavatam because all of us, all three of us want to discuss Bhagavatam. So we have some Shilta. Maybe I have more knowledge, you may have less knowledge, but we have common purpose that you want to discuss Bhagavatam. Is it make sense to you? Similarly, the demigods of also controlling mode of passion and ignorance will be attracted to those who are influenced by modes of passion and ignorance. Just very simple example. If I say today night, 12 o'clock, we'll go to a crematorium to worship a ghost. Will you be interested? No. No, you will get a lot of money by that. That ghost will give you a lot of money and all those things. No. We are not interested. Krishna is giving us everything, whatever we need. Make sense to you? So you see, by chanting Hare Krishna, your prakriti has changed. And that's why you are attracted to Krishna. Now, if I say, after this Bhagavatam class, we will discuss newspaper. Again, I say no. So you see, because we have done bhakti, because we have got some purification from the modes of material nature, we are having attraction for Bhagavatam. Does it make sense? Can you see? Because of your nature, you get influenced, you like certain things. Are you able to understand? Just from Bhagavad Gita we hear, a person in mode of passion will like to eat things which are in mode of passion. Yes? All those spicy, salty things. I don't know from. And a person who's in mode of goodness will like to eat those things which are in mode of goodness. I'm just drawing an analogy. And a person who's in mode of ignorance will like to eat rotten things, bad things. Similarly, a person influenced by different modes of material nature will like to worship a demigod who is controlling a particular mode of material nature, especially Rajagun and Tamagun. And we can see that Rajagun means material desires. Tamagun means covering of consciousness. So they will also worship such kind of demigods. So the reason why people worship demigods is because they are influenced by Rajagun and Tamagun. Their faith is not transcendental. Is it clear? Now, what kind of demigods? They say, Pitra, Bhut, Prajesh, Adin. Pitra is very clear. Forefathers. Bhut, you understand, the ghosts. And Prajesha means who control the people. Some powerful demigods. And with what desires? Shriya. Shriya, Aishwarya, Prajep, Savaha. Ipsavaha means desire. And Shriya means money. Aishwarya means opulence. And Praja means progeny or sons and what to say? You understand, sons and or daughters, whatever. So this has nothing to do with liberation. We have to understand, because of mode of passion and ignorance, they cannot understand these things will not make them happy. Make sense to you? These things has nothing to do with soul and they will not make them happy, but because their consciousness is covered, that's why they want to worship the different demigods. Is it very clear? So what is the meaning of the shloka? Those who are influenced by Rajagun and Tamagun, they worship those demigods who are also of the same nature, Samshilaha. And what are the names of the demigods? The example is Pitra Bhuta Prajesh Adin. Shriya, and with what desires? Shriya means money, Aishwarya means opulences, Praja means progeny. Progeny, you understand? Sons. Ipsavaha means for desire for all those things. Now, we'll read the translation. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance worship those in the same category. Is it very clear? Such as the forefathers, other living beings and the demigods in charge of cosmic activities. For such worshippers are urged by a desire to be materially benefit with woman, wealth, power and progeny. It's very clear. I just read Srila Swami's commentary and then on this. No, he just rephrases the shloka, same thing. He says that Same thing. It doesn't explain anything more. Let's see Srila Prabhupada's purport. Purport. There is no need to worship demigods of whatsoever category if one is serious about going back to Godhead. Now you see, this desire has not been mentioned in the translation. Do they want to go back to Godhead? No. Now this is something very important. If I worship Vishnu or Krishna, I will get liberated even if I don't want. Because I'll get purified and I'll understand that this world is not a place of happiness. Then he will liberate you anyhow. Isn't it all of us when he came to Krishna consciousness? It's not that he wanted to go back to Godhead. Do you agree? From the beginning point, it's not that we want to go back to Godhead. But simply by worshipping Vishnu, we get purified and then we desire, oh, I should go back to Godhead. Makes sense? Now, with the demigod, even if you worship him for liberation, he cannot give you liberation. That is a very important point. Because Krishna is called Mukunda. Anybody who worships Vishnu will get liberated. Even if he approaches him for material desires, because eventually he'll get purified. But if you approach him with Nishkam Bhav, I want to go back to God, that is the best way, by hearing from association of devotees, then you will naturally go back to God without much effort. Make sense to you? That's why it is say those who worship Vishnu are very udaradhi. They are very, very exalted. But here is very important point. If I'm serious again means I'm not casual. I'm not just talking about going back to Godhead. I want to go back to Godhead. So then say there is no need to worship demigods. And it's also important, Prabhupada will explain that Krishna also gives you material facilities, whatever you need for your body. So why you need to go to demigod? A very simple example, if you want to board a flight, you don't want to carry too many things with you. But if you want to remain in that city, then you may like to enjoy. So now if you want to board a flight to go back to Godhead, you will just minimize your things. And it is natural, Prabhupada has explained before also, a person who is inquiring into Absolute, inquiring about Krishna, that's such an overwhelming task that he naturally doesn't want too much material entanglements. He wants to make himself free. He naturally becomes detached from material enjoyment, which doesn't happen with worship of demigods. So what difference did we see? A devotee seriously wants to go back to Godhead. He wants to focus his mind on Krishna, and naturally he becomes disinterested in material enjoyment because he gets a higher taste from Krishna. That's the point. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that those who are mad after material enjoyment approach the different demigods for temporary benefits, which are meant for men with a poor fund of knowledge. Have you heard this? What is it? Kamai Prasakta Nam Taya Parhit Chetisam. Forgetting the shloka. That those whose hearts are Kamastes Ter Hritagyanha Prapadyanti Anna Devata Tamtam Niyame Mastaya Prakriti Niyatasvaya. That those whose heart is consciousness is stolen by lusty desires, they can't understand that enjoying, there is no point of enjoyment in this world. There is no enjoyment in this world. So they, with lot of faith, worship a particular demigod. Makes sense to you? That's what Prabhupada is saying. Poor fund of knowledge. Fund you understand. They don't have much account. They don't have savings of knowledge. They don't know why they are worshipping. And these are in the course of preaching. You can see if you ask people, what is the goal of life? Why are you worshipping Shiva? Just, I will get some material benefit. But if you ask them, are you not going to die? Are you not getting disease also? All those things are there. Because they don't have knowledge, that's why they worship demigods, not understanding that Krishna can fulfill and Krishna is fulfilling all their material desires. Actually, Krishna says that in 7th chapter, that all the benedictions which demigods are giving, he himself is giving through them. But a foolish fellow doesn't understand. That's why they worship demigods. We should never desire to increase the depth of material enjoyment. Material enjoyment should be accepted only up to the point of the bare necessities of life and not more or less than that. It's a very important point. That has been explained in second chapter. Kamasya Nendriya Priti. Life's desire should not be directed toward enjoyment. Why? You know that. If I am desiring material enjoyment, that means I am desiring I should have next life. A very subtle point. If you place one seed in the ground, then that seed will fructify with more seeds. So are we not noticing? Person may have one material desires, and in order to fulfill it, he may place that desire in the seed of his life, and in the field of his life, and then so many desires come up. Are you not seeing that? Are you able to see that? One person to fulfill one material desires, and then because of that, so many material desires come up. But in relationship to Krishna, if you offer a material desire to Krishna, then it is like a seed which is burned. You know, if you burn seed, if you put in the ground, it will not produce any further seeds. That has been explained in Bhagavatam. Beautiful example, isn't it? So, it's a fact. Any person who, even with material desires, approaches Krishna, Krishna nullifies those material desires. And he gives him a higher taste of his own bhakti. So now, that's Prabhupada is very nicely saying. And another point is mentioned here, that life, material enjoyment should be taken so much so that you can maintain a healthy life. If I eat too less, will I be able to do bhakti? No. And if I eat too much, then also. If I sleep less, then also not. And if I sleep too much, then also not. So we, although this body is bad, but we have to keep the body in proper conditions so that you can execute the main purpose. Makes sense to you? So now, what? For upkeep of the body, Krishna automatically provides material facility. Is that, you know, are we not getting facility? We are getting facility. But demigods may give you material enjoyment without considering what will happen to you. If you ask a material facility from a demigod, he will not think whether you can handle it properly or not. He will just give you because he does not love you. And Krishna will only give you a material facility if he can see that this devotee can actually use it for my service, and he will not get bewildered. Krishna always thinks the welfare of his devotee. It's not a business supply. He's not doing business with his devotee. He's always thinking of the welfare of the devotee. Makes sense to you?
Okay.
So what we have learned in this point, that material needs have to be provided so that we can practice Krishna consciousness. But they think, the demigod worshippers, they think, if I have lot of material enjoyment, then I'll become very happy. That is the greatest disease of this material world. If a person is thinking like that, his advancement Krishna consciousness is checked. If I'm thinking that material enjoyment is how I'm going to become happy, then I will focus my energy on that. How will I worship Krishna? So this is a point which Prabhupada is explaining here. Are you able to, if you don't understand something, you can ask me. Okay? We should never desire to increase the depth of material enjoyment. Try to understand this. If you sleep, you are brahmacharis. So you know, if you sleep on mat, or if you sleep on floor, if you sleep on bed, if you sleep on gadda, you understand, was thick foam, the sleep level is same, isn't it? So now, to increase the quality of sleep, what is the point of making too much facilities? And every time I'm making a facility for material enjoyment, I'm using my precious human form of life, which can be used, and only as a human I can use for spiritual advancement. I'm using that energy for material enjoyment, which is easily available for animals also. You see, we have heard so many times, but we don't understand the depth of it. Animals, even if they want, they cannot inquire about Krishna. And the enjoyment of eating, sleeping, mating, defending is same, not even inch more, is same for human beings and for animals. That's why Prabhupada is saying, we should not try to increase depth of material enjoyment, because it remains the same, it doesn't increase. It makes sense to you? Whatever food is there, if you are hungry, wherever you sit, you will eat, you will get the same pleasure. So basically one should live a peaceful life so that he can save time for thinking about Krishna. Make sense to you? Material enjoyment should be accepted only up to the point of bare necessities of life, not more or less than that. So we have discussed that. To accept more material enjoyment means to bind oneself more and more to the miseries of material existence. Now is it very clear? One desire after another, one desire after another. And the most miserable is taking birth in the womb of a mother. It's like my grandmother, she's coming now. My mother's mother, she's going to die today. Today or within 2-3 days. Then you realize, well, she's a devotee. She was chanting Hare Krishna. So maybe she leaves the body in Vrindavan. But just think about it. Now when I'm going to die, I don't even have a second more to render a devotional service. Obviously, whatever I've heard, I'll get another body. But if I don't go back to Godhead, then again I have to sit in the womb of the mother. It's pretty heavy, Prabhuji. It's quite serious matter. Just imagine now we are sitting in this room, there is no fan, there is no light, and so many insects are biting us. How, not for one day or 1 hour, 5 months, because 4 months we have no consciousness. Can you imagine the most painful experience is birth, not even death. Not even death. Most painful. So even if we have to take birth, I mean if we have to take birth, what can we do? But we from our side should desire that we don't want another birth. That's what Prabhupada is saying, that it will, what is that? He says, miseries of material and existence, again and again. The problem is when we don't hear, we cannot see it. It's a pashyan api, na pashyati. If I ask you, this bottle is here, what will you say? Yes, it is there. Now what will happen if I say, bottle is there and you cannot see? This is the meaning of the word pashyan api na pashyati. Everybody is seeing that everybody is dying. Everybody is taking birth. But seeing also they cannot understand. Make sense? Don't you feel surprised? If both of us say bottle is there and you say I cannot see the bottle. So what is the problem? Why you cannot see? Only reason why you cannot see the bottle is if you have cataract. Cataract, you understand, where the eyes have this whitish thing. So it will appear the eyes are there, but you cannot see. So can you answer? Now I'll ask you, can you answer what is the cataract? Why people cannot see? From this, what can you understand? What is the cataract by which people cannot see the miseries of material existence?
You can see, but you cannot understand.
Speak in the mic. I have a question. Miseries are there. Everybody is dying, taking birth, having disease. Everybody, even devotees. So why people can't see it?
Because they are not pure. Their
very
consciousness,
good answer.
Their
very
consciousness
good
is not pure.
And
they cannot
of impure consciousness, what happens?
They cannot understand what is the truth of life.
This is the result. What is the in-between part? I'm again saying, this bottle I can see, you can see. Why, suppose, if you cannot see, what is wrong? Wrong is in the eyes.
Yes, wrong is
in the
eyes.
The object is not
there.
So now what is the difficulty? Material desires.
Material desires.
So because of impure heart, their goal of life is material enjoyment. And the nature of, very nicely Mahaprabhu says, material enjoyment is like this, it makes a person blind to truth. So this is what is mentioned here, that it will bind oneself more and more. People don't even know how by enjoying materiality they are preparing their next life. Can you see that? By enjoying materially, I am preparing my next life. It's amazing, you know? Amazing. So to accept more material enjoyment, we have discussed this. More wealth, more women and false aristocracy are some of the demands of the materially disposed man, because he has no information of the benefit derived from Vishnu worship. It's like I was telling you, one time I was discussing with a Muslim and he had no idea what is eternal. In their whatever scriptures, there is no concept of eternal. Maximum is Jannat or heaven, which is not wrong, but that is temporary only. What happens is, when you hear that even Swarga is not eternal, then because of that hearing process, your goal of life changes. Are you able to understand? By the hearing process, you have a conception. See, you can see your future by hearing. We hear very carefully. You can see your future by hearing. I'll explain. If I explain to you the glories of Swarga. So now, by hearing again and again, it's okay, no problem. You can hear? Okay. So now, by hearing again and again, you are seeing your future in Swarga and you start doing your yajna here. This is a very subtle concept, na? Now, when you hear again and again about going back to Godhead and you start doing your japa, so the goal is in your consciousness. Are you able to understand this point? I want to go back to Godhead, I'll chant Hare Krishna nicely, I'll do bhakti. The whole thing is shravan. It's a very nice point. By hearing, you can see your future, isn't it? Oh, I'll chant Hare Krishna one day. I don't know in what form I will be back to Godhead. But I can... Can you see that? It's a faith. But through that faith you can see, oh, I'll one day be with Krishna. In whatever form I don't know. So that because of that hearing, you get that faith. So these people, because they hear from Vedas, the flowery language of Vedas, Yamimam Pashpitam Vacha, that means, oh, if you do worship this demigod, if you do Chaturmasya, then you will get eternal benefit, you will enjoy with women. So now they're seeing that through the ears. Makes sense to you. And they have faith is on this yajna process, which is for material enjoyment. Now, if when you hear that, no, this all is temporary, by hearing from Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then you say, why should I desire to go to heavenly planets? I should desire to go back to Godhead. So by that hearing process, this changes. This is what I mentioned here. Now, what happens is, when a person is enjoying woman, wealth and aristocracy, he becomes more and more covered that he can't even understand it is not making him happy. And he desires to increase more and more and more and more. Are you not seeing people who may be just dying, but they are very much attached to their business? If somebody tells them, you have only 1 year left, still they can't give up those things. Isn't it? I'll give an example. My nanny, she was here in 2 or 3 months back. So I told her, you please don't go from Vrindavan, you are too old. She's a devotee still. I said, you please die here. So she did not listen to me. She told, I'm not going to die for next 10 years. Now she's dying today. So people are so covered up. So covered up. So what we are learning from this line is, the more we enjoy materially, the more we cannot understand that this place is a place of misery. Make sense to you? It's a very, very important point. That's why I call it tapasya. When we do tapa, our heart gets purified, we understand this. And when we, the more we understand it, the more we don't want to enjoy this material world. Okay. But what we really nicely learned is, by hearing, what happens? Can you remember what I said?
From hearing, we believe.
We have faith.
We have faith.
And
like we hear that this is not good, so we don't try it.
This is also good.
So we don't do that.
And we can see our future.
Yeah, we can see our future by
hearing. So we remain convinced to do what we are doing now, because our present will become our future later on. Okay. Now, more wealth. Yeah, we've read this. Now we say, by Vishnu worship, one can derive benefit in this life as well in life after that. So now somebody may say this, Are bhai, if I worship Vishnu, what by material things? I also need material things for my life. So Vishnu is giving you that also. You can read Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter, last shloka, where Krishna says, Vedeshu yagyeshu tapah suchaiva naneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam atyedita sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam apetichadyam. By reading Veda, by doing yagya, by doing tapasya, or by doing some dan, charity, whatever punya you get by devotional service. So you remain happy. Anybody becomes happy because he has done some piety. Makes sense to you? Somebody is intelligent. Don't you ask a question, why somebody is crippled? He can't even walk from birth. What is the reason for that? And why a person is more intelligent? Why a person is more beautiful? So you know that. It's all by karma. So whatever punya you get by worshipping others, doing other activities, yajna, dan, tapasya, whatever, the same benefit, more than that, you get by worshipping Vishnu. We know that by chanting Hare Krishna. You can't imagine the benefit. And simultaneously you go back to Godhead. Are you able to see the difference? If you do other pieties, you will not go back to Godhead. You just remain happy here. Not happy, but I would say materially comforted here, relatively. But if you worship Krishna, what will happen? Answer me. No, he will answer first.
You will go back to home, back to Godhead, and you will get material comfortable.
Yes,
facilities.
So you will also get material comforts here, and you will also go back to Godhead. Hindi mein sochte na, dono haath ghee mein aur sar kadhai mein. Both your hands are in ghee, and both your hands you have laddus, and your head is in the ghee basket. Well, both ways we get benefits, and we see here, we don't work. Devotees don't have to struggle hard, and then we get our food nicely, everything is nice. Yes, more than what a materialist can enjoy. In this regard, one time Srila Prabhupada had a camp next to a river. Badri Narayan Maharaj was explaining. So he said, one fellow was sailing around the river. So then he said, was cursing them. You people don't do anything. You're enjoying here and eating and dancing like this. So then it was brought to the notice of Prabhupada that this person is cursing, that we don't do anything and we simply sing and dance. Then Prabhupada said, please come, tell him to come and join us. Isn't it? He is cursing, you people don't do anything, and you are simply chanting and dancing, you are not doing anything, so why don't you join us? Have you ever thought? It's not easy for them. It's not easy to become Krishna conscious. That's the whole problem. Why are you working so hard? So this is the point. So they don't understand that by worshipping Vishnu, you become happy here also. And afterwards also, you go back to Godhead. Okay. Forgetting these principles, foolish people who are after more wealth, more wives and more children worship various demigods. They don't understand. If I would have been happy by a child, why would I create another child? If I would have become satisfied by one wife, why will I have second wife? One devotee told a person, very wealthy person in India has 400 cars. Now just imagine, 400 cars, what is the point? 400 cars means even if he drives one car one day, approximately after 1 year he will drive another car, isn't it? So they don't understand, if I was satisfied with car, I would have been satisfied with one car only. Maybe if it gets destroyed, you buy a new one. Have you ever seen that? We buy things and only happiness is when you open the wrapper. And after the wrapper is opened, you may use it. No, the value will be down if you use it for material enjoyment. Just like this mics and laptops and phones, we are using it, the speaker is using. Because it is for Krishna's service, they give us happiness. We can use it for Krishna's service. But otherwise, these things are boring. In of themselves, everybody who has a laptop doesn't become happy. When I read Bhagavatam, we are reading Bhagavatam from a laptop, because of the message I become happy, not because of the laptop. So people don't understand the same point, very simple point, that a soul cannot be happy unless it has bhakti for Krishna. That's why they desire so many things. That's what again and again being told, their intelligence is stolen away by material energy. They can't understand. The bottle is there, you can't see it. You want to say something? Yes.
Prabhupada says, everything is good. But your consciousness is not good. So you cannot see that thing.
Everything
correctly.
Is Krishna's energy.
Yes.
And if I use it for Krishna's service, then we become liberated. See, now, simply we are discussing Bhagavatam. Now, Prabhupada simply says, very nice, you can refer 2370. Simply by discussing Bhagavatam, you are liberated from death. Just imagine. You wanted to go to your home. You would have not discussed Bhagavatam there. So I said, okay. But if you hear, simply by discussing Bhagavatam, I will become free from death. Why will I go back home? By hearing, we prioritize our life. What I'm supposed to do as a priority. Makes sense to you? And when we don't hear, especially Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, our priorities are women, aristocracy and all those things. If I want to become famous, what is the value of becoming famous? So all those things, people, a person who has some sense, he can understand, and some sense means only he will get by hearing Bhagavatam, that the real thing is to please Krishna. Then I'll be pleased. By all those things, I'm not becoming pleased. Okay? Go ahead. The aim of life is to end the miseries of life and not to increase them. Sometime Radha Govind Maharaj mentioned, people will not accept, but actually the relatives are there to give us trouble. Now try to understand why. Because these materialistic relatives, they want sense gratification. They will give you trouble. This is just a siddhanta, this is a principle. If somebody wants sense gratification, he will surely give you trouble. Has to. His relationship with you is not based on giving you some happiness. Is only not want to extract from you. He basically want to exploit you. He will give you trouble. And your relationship with that person can never be heart to heart. Think very deeply about it. Because we may be illusioned that by my material relationships I can be happy. Never ever, very rarely, a relative can think that how I can make this person happy. Never ever. And even if he thinks, he can only think how can I make arrangement for his eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Beyond that he cannot think also. So very deep points to be understood. So now, that's what Prabhupada is saying, they don't know the aim of life. And that's why they're wasting their life. For material enjoyment, there is no need to approach the demigod. That's clear. Because Vishnu can give us the same. The demigods are but servants of the Lord. As such, they are duty bound to supply necessities of light, life in the form of water, light, air, etc. One should work hard and worship the Supreme Lord by the fruits of one's hard labor for existence. And that should be the motto of life. What should be the motto of life? By all my activities, I should worship Krishna. And by that way, all my activities become transcendental. Just like before this class, we had to set up a mic. We had to set up a speaker. We had to set up a laptop. So all those things are so-called material. But as soon as we engage them in Krishna's service, they become spiritual. Hear very carefully. When I am using these objects for Krishna, although they are material, I don't become bound in this material world. Rather, using the same thing for Krishna, I become liberated. Is it clear? But the same thing, if we had used for material objects, material sense gratification, same things bind us to the material world. Same thing with the senses also. Make sense to you? So this is what he said, the motto of life is, by all my activities I should worship Krishna. And what is the meaning of worship Krishna? Glorify Krishna. Simple. How can I chant Hare Krishna? How can I spread the chanting of Hare Krishna? How can I spread the glories of Krishna? That is the motto of life. Now, small point. Everybody has a motto in life. Motto, you understand? Purpose. This I want to do. This is my focus in life. Yeah, aim. And based on that, all his activities are centered. Just like, we wanted to have this class. So what are the first activities we did? We entered into the room. We switched on the fan, light, speaker. So we are doing different activities which are centered on the activity of discussing Bhagavatam. You came inside, you brought the book. So there are different activities which are centered around discussion of Bhagavatam. So similarly, now if my life desire is for pleasing Krishna, so all my activities may be of different variety, but they're all for Krishna's pleasure. I'm taking bath, I'm putting tilak, I'm wearing dhoti or whatever, worship Krishna. So in this way, all my life, all my activities become transcendental. They don't bind me. Taking bath also becomes bhakti, isn't it? Because without taking bath, you cannot do bhakti. You cannot go for Mangalarati. Washing clothes also become bhakti. Are you able to understand the point? That's why devotees, every action becomes transcendental because his motto of life is Krishna. Does it make sense? Very, very, very important point. One should be careful to execute occupational service with faith in God in the proper way, and that will lead one gradually on the progressive march back to Godhead. This is a very important line, very beautiful. One should be careful to execute occupational service with faith in God. That means while being situated in Varnashram, I may be a brahmachari, grihastha, vanprastha, sannyas, whatever. But I should have one faith. I am Krishna's eternal servant. Point number one. And goal of my life is to please Krishna. The goal of my life is not simply to stick to Varnashram duties. Is it very clear? Just like if you were only setting up the mic and speaker, the volume is okay or not, and whole time 1 hour is spent in that only, whether the cover of the book is okay or not, whether the fan is running. So these things are important, but when are you going to discuss Bhagavatam? The point is very simple, but we take to heart, then we understand this is very important. When are you going to discuss Bhagavatam? So you understand, that's what Mahaprabhu says, if a person is only sticking to Varnashram and doesn't worship Krishna, even doing these Varnashram duties, you will go to hell. And that's what has been, if you read the second chapter, that dharma swanishtitah pamsam vishvaksina kathasuya notpad yadi ratim shramayvahi kevalam. A person who is doing Varnashram duties very nicely, but he doesn't develop a taste to hear about Krishna. Taste means an urge. Just like we have that urge for eating food, that is called urge. Yeah, talab, you know, like that. So if that urge is not there, then what is the value of Varnashram? And this you must see, if we have this urge for hearing about Krishna, that means your love for Krishna is increasing. I put it differently. If I don't like Mohan Prabhu, just for example, and you say, you know, Mohan is like, Baba, don't take his name also. I don't want to hear anything about him. Why? Because I don't like you. Now, if I'm very eager to know and hear what Mohan did, Mohan like is this, like that means I have some love for Mohan. Is it very clear? Simple. So now I will do so many things in the name of seva, quote unquote, but if I have no inclination to hear about Krishna, then where is our love? So one has to be thoughtful. And you see, every time Maya will say, don't hear, do that service, don't hear, do that service. Hear, don't hear, do that thing. We have to become thoughtful. Now, Lord Shri Krishna, don't put the ring now. After 5 minutes, you can do. Lord Shri Krishna, when he was personally present at Vrajdham, stopped the worship of the demigod Indra and advised the residents of Vraja to worship their business. Worship their business? And to have faith in God. Worshipping the this is you understand. Lord Krishna says, we are, instead of worshipping Indra, we should worship Govardhan. He is giving the grass for our cows and like that. Why should we worship Indra? So in that way, he decried the worship of demigods. Worshipping the multi-demigods for material gain is practically a perversity of religion. Perversity means, it's not the real form of religion. It is distorted. It's not a real religion. Real dharma is to worship Krishna. Not an illusion, a distortion. Real religion is serving Krishna. So this is false religion, so to speak. Yeah, false religion. Yeah. Cheating religion, I would say. Kaitav dharma. This sort of religious, it's amazing. I just want to read the next line. Prabhupada is saying this. The sort of religious activity has been condemned in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam as Kaitav Dharma. I did not read that line. I just said that. Because Kaitav Dharma means what? Cheating. See, you are worshipping a demigod. A person is worshipping a demigod. Does he love him? No. He wants something. And when the demigod is giving him a benediction, does the demigod love that worshipper? No. Because he has done, Prabhupada has mentioned it, he has done these rules and regulations, okay, I'll give him. Without even considering that whether it's good for that person. You know the example of Lord Shiva giving the benediction to Vrikasura. He knows that he's an asura. And if you give him the benediction that on anybody's hand, on anybody's head, you put your place, your hand, he will die, then he'll become more powerful. But he just gave because that the rules are there. Okay, take it. So this shows that the demigods are not loving the people whom they who are worshipping them for material benefits. Makes sense to you? See, as a manager, I have to deal with so many people who don't want to come and discuss Bhagavatam with me. They are coming, they will pay obeisances, and I know they want a job. And even they say, Prabhuji, we want some seva. What is the meaning? You want a job. So they are saying seva. Seva means love, free. Not free, I would say, with the intention to please. You don't take money for service. Actually, just like your mother doesn't ask you, I have fed you my breast milk, now pay me. And if you pay, how she will feel? Please take this example to your heart. If you gain money and you say, Mother, you have fed me milk when I was small, how much I owe you now? And that's what Prahlad Maharaj was saying this. He felt hurt when Narasimhadev said, please ask material something from me. And he said, I'm not a businessman, my lord. Can you understand the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj? Just imagine, can you ask this question to your mother? Can we ever dare to say this here, give a slap? Are you able to understand? She had offered that service out of love for us. We cannot repay that, isn't it? Never, even materially speaking. So a devotee doesn't want material things from me. To the degree we want something material in exchange of our service is not pure. And please read 1.2.4, I think that Ahetuki Apratihata. Just find the shloka, I'll show you the shloka. Prabhupada says, to the degree we have desire for something material from Krishna, we will not become happy in devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami says, even if you have a scent of desire for material enjoyment or a desire for liberation, we can't feel happiness of bhakti. I'll show you the shloka afterwards. Subhapam sam paro dharma. So only when we have love, selfless love for Krishna, only then we can be happy. So what I'm trying to say that all this thing is Katav Dharma because demigods are not loving you and the worshippers are not loving them. But worshippers of Krishna, they love Krishna and Krishna so much loves his devotee, can't imagine. Just by desire to hear Bhagavatam. Just like I asked Mohan Prabhu. Mohan Prabhu, let us discuss Bhagavatam. So unless he had a desire, why will he sit? And unless I had a desire to discuss Bhagavatam, why will I sit? Make sense to you? And you also had some desire, that's why you gave up going back to home and sit here. So what does Bhagavatam say? Simply by having a desire to hear Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes captured in the heart. That's why we become happy to discuss Bhagavatam. So, there is only one religion in the world to be followed by one and all, and that is the Bhagavad Dharma, or the religion which teaches one to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else. That has been explained in 1.1.2. What is real dharma? Keval Ishwar Aradhanah Lakshana. Sridhar Swami says. Keval means only, which is only aiming at worshipping Krishna. It doesn't want anything from return. And Krishna naturally provides. No, if a child is very nice, if the child is not nice, will the father not maintain him? He still maintain. And what to talk of if the child is very nice and does something which is pleasing to the father? So we have practical things. We don't go to temple and say, Krishna, give us a daily bread. Isn't it? What is our prayer? Hare Krishna. Krishna, please engage me in the service. So what did we learn? We just revise one more point. Those whose heart is filled, those who have a nature of Rajagun and Tamagun, they worship a demigod with the same nature. They don't have love for them and they worship them with the desire for money, woman, wealth and progeny. And because they have this kind of nature, they can't understand the glory of Vishnu. They can't understand the real goal of life. And that's their surrender to demigods. Now, I'm not going to go for the further shloka. The link for the next shloka is that although they're doing that, but they can't understand that the purpose of all Vedas, all Yajnas, all knowledge is Vasudev. So that we will discuss whenever Krishna wants next. Thank you all very much. You have any question? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada.